Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And we took Monday off to celebrate Memorial Day. We're here with you on Tuesday at the start of summer. Brett, how was your Memorial Day?
It was good. I mean, anytime that you get a long weekend, you don't got to worry too much about getting ready for a show or work or anything. Everybody's happy, right? So, and I've been lucky. Arizona at this time of year usually is already encroaching the hundreds. And it's staying in the 90s, so I'm optimistic. I have not had shelter in place yet when the 110s come, so I'm happy.
Well, we hosted a barbecue here at the house where we had pasta salad, watermelon, hot dogs, hamburgers, ribs, the whole deal. So when you get into like a summer barbecue, what is your favorite food to enjoy?
Oh man, I'm the worst because I don't eat red meat or hot dogs. Perfect. So I'm that guy. I'm that guy that ruins the barbecue. No, I mean I like a good, if somebody knows their way around a good barbecue chicken. I mean, or like my go-to order at any restaurant ever is buffalo chicken sandwiches. So you hit me with the buffalo chicken sandwich. If you can make that, if you use a good sauce, like I'm talking about the buffalo sauces that aren't full of sugar. You know, like, and I can't do super hot, but if you get me with a good buffalo chicken sandwich, I will be at your barbecue. I will eat 10 of those. You will never invite me again. I will graze all your sweet potato fries if you have them. So I'm that guy that if you make the right amount of food, I don't get invited back the next year.
There you go. Well, we also had chicken and we had corn. And after eating all of this, I realized that I think secretly, like, watermelon might be the highlight for me. Like, I only eat hot dogs at a barbecue. It's not something I would ever order at a restaurant. So I usually like do hot dogs over hamburgers because I eat hamburgers in all sorts of circumstances. Hot dogs, by the way, do the double dog. Take the two dogs, put it in one bun. There, get a better meat to bun ratio. Hit your toppings as you please. And the structural integrity is a little bit better because now it can support your relishes and your onions and anything else that you want to dress your dog with. But watermelon, when it's in season, I think is the best. It is the Naz Reid of the picnic. It is not the guy that you think is the best player of the series, but you catch on the right day and he is the best player in the entire world. Unlike the corn, which is the Rudy Gobert of the barbecue, in which it is long, stagnant, and yellow, which is the color of cowardice.
I'm actually disappointed because to fast forward, I'm going to have Naz Reid in my second guest express and I'm never going to be able to beat that analogy now. So I already feel like my show is ruined, but I did have a question for you though. So sure. We were talking about irrational confidence skills. You're you're like a pretty subtly good cook, aren't you? Cause I feel like we've talked a lot. And when we did the Thanksgiving show, you talked about a recipe dish that you made for Thanksgiving. Like, are you like a low key, like really good cook? I mean, do people leave just being like, man, Toby, you should open your own restaurant kind of thing?
No. Nobody would ever pay for my food. If I give it away for free and then I apply them with alcohol, they're more than happy to say nice things about it. But I don't think I can turn it into a business opportunity. I'm the anti-Cheesecake Factory. Like, I make, 10 things and I make them all really well.
Yeah, I respect that though. That's the way to go. I have been to too many restaurants where there's like 7,000 things in the menu. And I'm like, there's no way all of these things could be good. There's just no way. So I respect the fact that you have just stayed in a lane and you're like, I'm going to be really good at these 10 things.
It's also where you talk about like LeBron in the offseason, like what's he going to add to his game? Like back when he was in his prime, now he's just trying to stay upright or star in Space Jam 3 or whatever he's doing. But like, it's like, what is he going to add to his game this year? So like 5 years ago, it was probably 6 things, I've expanded slightly each year, that each year I try to add one new dish rather than trying to become good at everything.
So, I mean, what would be like the go-to summer dish for you? Is it just hot dogs or hamburgers, or do you get a little fancier than that?
Well, I'm on a ribs kick right now. I'm trying to up my ribs game. I bought a smoker and I've been slowly developing new techniques each time, taking notes, all the nerdy stuff that absolutely nobody wants to hear about besides you, apparently. So sorry, audience. Also, we'll do, I do like a classic summer barbecue. Like we grill chicken quite a bit and use it in all sorts of different dishes. Put it with a Caesar salad and, you know, watermelon or whatever it is, eat outside. And that's just good, healthy living for us.
Yeah, I mean, my brother went down the smoker rabbit hole last year, or like a few years ago. And I mean, it's like a thing. Like there's like people that get together and they talk and they exchange recipes. Like this is a subtly large community that develops in the smoker world. So yeah. I hope we don't lose you to that. I hope this doesn't turn into like trendy barbecue smoked recipes. So,
ooh, now you're producing. Now you've got some good ideas. Well, we're talking this long about food and barbecue because the NBA playoffs suddenly are not very good. So I know we're going to talk about Timberwolves and the Mavs as we give out our picks, but Pacers Celtics was a complete dud over in four games. And I know they were dramatic in the last two, but it never felt like the series outcome was ever in serious doubt from the opening tip. And it sucks, Brett. Like, honestly, it sucks. And I worry this is what our long-term future is going to be with this league. Unfortunately, it's going to be like full of preternatural talents that deliver great highlights on TikTok and everywhere else. But when it gets down to competitive basketball with the amount of variance from three-point shooting and all those sorts of things, are we actually going to see like classic games that in May that past the test of time? And like, I didn't feel compelled to watch last night's game. And I know I missed a pretty good one, but it was Memorial Day. I was with my family. I was with my friends. You know, it's not must-see television when it's 3-0 and one team has such a decisive advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not as doom and gloom about it. And I think the reason would be, I guess in some ways I should be more, more anxious about how this is going to be going forward. But the Adam Silver decision to basically mandate the players to play more and crack down on like the DNP rest stuff that goes on in the regular season. And what did we see in the playoffs? Everybody was hurt. Like we lost a ton of stars. So a bunch of these series outcomes were shifted because guys were worn down or they were out for with injuries that they had sustained in the regular season. And that does worry me to a degree. I mean, I the NBA is in a tough spot. Like you want the average fan who gets to see Giannis or, you know, whoever Jason Tatum to make sure that they're playing in a February game in Charlotte. Right. But at the same token, this is really where everybody seems to lock into the NBA. And then if you have series where like the top two guys are out for each team, like what are we doing here? Like, this isn't fun. Like it's like a weird exhibition in the preseason. So I guess that would be my big concern from here. You know, I think because of that, we got a couple fluky results. You know, that, I mean, in a year where everybody's healthy, we don't get Pacers Celtics. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I love Haliburton. I'm a huge Haliburton guy. I worked with TJ McConnell when he was coming out of college. I was super happy to see him blow up on that stage. I mean, the Pacers team was fun. I think Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. I don't think top to bottom, like that team screamed Eastern Conference Finals team to me. And Boston's really good, but I mean, they're going to have decisions to make in the future. I mean, Jrue Holiday isn't going to be amazing forever. But I think because of that, I'm not super concerned. The Wolves were disappointing. That I will say, that series just bums me out. We're going to talk about it. It's the game that's going on tonight. It'll be most all of my picks are on it. You have picks on it too. I really thought this was going to be a banger. Like I really thought this was going to be a seven game series. I thought there was going to be some really good Luka and Edwards stuff going on. It just has been disappointing, and that's kind of a bummer. I think part of it is Karl Anthony Towns hasn't really showed up in the way that we would hope for a series of this magnitude. But that one gets me down a little bit. I was really, really, really looking forward to this series, and it has not delivered.
Well, I'll miss TJ McConnell. He reminds me of what Eric Nies's character in Above the Rim, if the guy actually made the league. So I will miss that element of watching the games. But yes, I would agree it's disappointing. We don't have to throw all the dirt on it yet because maybe the Wolves will come back and win tonight. We'll be able to talk about it in tomorrow's show. But otherwise, like you already mentioned it, like this is when everybody's supposed to be locking in and they have to set the NBA final television schedule ahead of time to please their broadcast partners. And it's on June 6th. And if the Mavs come out and win tonight, like we're going to like a college football scenario where it's like, oh, we're going to not play for a week and a half. Like how the hell is that going to make any sense? So might catch in a couple extra whistles tonight. Not that I would ever imply such a thing about a league that's so clearly above board.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways though, with as banged up as Lucas seems to look and with some of the injuries the Mavs are nursing, Porzingis trying to get back into health and get into rhythm, I wouldn't mind 9 days off for these teams to come into the series kind of in full peak. You know, if we're going to get a bummer of a conference finals run, like give us an amazing finals, like get these two teams healthy, get everybody back in the rotation, get Luka as close to 100% as guys can get at this time of year, and just go full tilt in the finals. I'll take the 9 days off if that's what it gives us in those 9 days.
All right, well, playoff basketball is not promised past tonight, so we've got a lot of picks on tonight's game, and we will get into them right after we give Caesar some love.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Brett, we are back, and poor Eddie Spaghetti, who has to suffer through all of these games and apparently doesn't even like doing so, but caught two Rangers wins in overtime last week, which caused him to lose to me 12.8 to 6.7 because I had the Rangers money line in both of those games. So I am going to go ahead and claim honors as I return rightfully back to the winner's chair, and I am opening with the Wolves and Mavs over tonight, 210.5. At -115 over at Caesars. And now, Brett, you've heard me say a million times that overs make friends and unders make money. So why would I do that? It's because the total is just not high enough for how I think the game state is going to go tonight. All three games have gone over 210.5 in the first three. And I think we have a chance to see the most free flowing of all of the games tonight, as the Mavs don't have as much to lose and the Wolves are backs against the wall. And I expect them to come out a little bit more aggressive. The Mavs find themselves firmly in house money territory. Shot making is insanely good, which also will help them pass the over. And I'm very curious, I've already kind of started talking about it, how much Naz Reid plays compared to Gobert tonight, as Gobert has kind of been taken a little bit out of this series. And that helps with points on both sides of the floor. So put it all together, I think the number is just too low at 210.5. If it was 220, I definitely would have taken the under. 215, I would have stayed away. But at 210, I'm going to take the over at -115.
Yeah, I really wanted to tail this one because it does work into my cred bet in a way. Well, actually, my cred and second guess. But this my gut tells me, and this is, you know, the head pick, gut pick, or I mean the heart pick, gut pick, whatever way you want to go. I just feel like tonight's going to be really grindy. That's just my gut reaction is tonight is just going to be a grind fest. I think you're right. I mean, I think they passed this number and it hasn't really even been that close in most games. But I couldn't get there. I do think that it's clearly the trending in the right play. This is trendy. You play the right trends. This is the way to go. But my gut, which is not ever right. Let's be honest here. I've not done well on trendy. Okay. But my gut tells me this is going to be too grindy, and 210.5 seemed was a little high for me.
Thanks for staying away. It makes me feel better about.
Yeah, I was going to say if I tail it, like you're screwed anyway. So this is like there a Schrodinger's pick situation.
All right, what you got?
So for my hard pick, and this is definitely just a hard pick because of what we were talking about. I'm taking Mini on the money line. They're +120. Like I just want to see them win. I kind of also refuse, like as much as I've enjoyed kind of the Anthony Edwards coming of age thing in this playoffs, it seems like, and really throughout this season, I really don't want to see him and this team go out like this.
Yeah.
And so I think this is more like, I want to bet this because I just want to see it happen. But I do also think that like Dallas has had some really good shot making. I don't know if that's going to continue. Derek Lively is going to be out. He's been really big for them in terms of keeping guys out of the paint, protecting the rim. I think that's going to be an issue. But mostly I can't imagine this Wolves team that's been pretty good. And I know there's the Gobert factor. We could do an entire podcast on what he does for a team in the regular season versus the playoffs kind of thing. But this money line, you know, you're getting plus money for a team to not get swept that I think is a pretty good team. I couldn't get past it. So I think that's going to be the hard play here for me today.
We don't have to do an entire podcast on it, but let's do a couple of minutes on it. So I said last week that I liked Minnesota in this series because I thought Gobert was going to be able to deter the dunker spot, which is a big part of the Mavs offense. And I was 100% wrong. They are throwing that lob at will, and Lively's finishing it. Gafford's finishing it. They do not seem intimidated whatsoever. In fact, they seem to be picking on Gobert, putting him between two minds of hanging back by the rim and trying to defend that spot versus trying to step up on these drives. And they are just destroying him. And so I guess my question to you, Brett, as somebody who studies this stuff quite a bit, is this a factor of like Gobert's limitations, or are the Mavs particularly unstoppable as long as they have two athletic guys like Lively and Gafford that could go up, and two guys that are so excellent at not only penetrating but keeping their defender behind them like Luka and Kyrie, making it a almost impossible play to defend once their man is behind them and there's only one guy between them and the rim, and then you have the, you know, dunker spot lurking on the baseline?
Yeah, I mean, look, Gobert is incredible at protecting the rim. That is an impossible situation, whether you're 7'4" or when you're me and you're 5'9" with two karate pads trying to simulate that against actual pros when you're doing player development. It is really tough when you're in that spot. And you mentioned how well Kyrie and Luka both use their body to shield the defender, to keep them kind of at an advantage, or keep them on their hip, or keep them on their back, and force the decision where that player has to make the commitment, whether they're going to contest their shot at the rim or leave the lob open. It is a no man's land for Gobert. It's a really, really tough spot. I don't think that part is his fault. And most of the time when you get into those situations, if you rewind the play, it's the point of attack defense that let it down and put him in that spot. And Luka can bully ball guys there. And Kyrie is about as shifty as anybody that we've seen the last 20 years playing basketball. And I think so that to me is where the issue is. It's not necessarily, that isn't where it falls on Gobert. The thing with him is just that he's a floor raiser. He's a guy that when you play vanilla schemes and you're playing 82 games and teams aren't going to be able to pinpoint stuff, and they're coming from, you know, Charlotte to Indiana to play on a back-to-back, and you're just going to be like, we're going to play drop coverage and Rudy's going to sit in the paint and we're going to make them shoot long twos and blah, 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 blah. You can get away with that. And teams aren't going to target him like they can when they're on the offensive end, where they can kind of make it a 4-on-5 game. And that, to me, is like where someone like Lively and Gafford have values. You talk about their verticality. And when you talk about the dunker spot, I mean, that's vertical spacing. Like we think of 3-point line spacing, like that vertical spacing still causes a threat and still pulls defender out of the paint. And, you know, Gobert isn't that huge of a lob threat. He's not really even used that in that way. And so he doesn't have that exciting verticality on offense. He can't beat a switch. He's not going to step out and shoot jump shots. So you kind of play 4-on-5 in the playoffs, and teams can scheme against that. I mean, we saw the extreme of this like years ago when Pop played the Grizzlies and Tony Allen was on that team, and they literally just let Tony Allen sit within, no one was in 15 feet of the three-point line. Like, you would never see that type of scheme in a regular season where things are more vanilla, you know, maybe to a degree, maybe on a couple of possessions late. But, like, that's the stuff that you can target a guy with Gobert with. And his flaws kind of on that end come to the, come to light more in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. Because these are, and we've talked about this on the show before, two completely different entities. The regular season, the playoffs are not remotely the same. It's almost like you're playing two different sports with the increase in the energy levels, with the scheming, with the breaks in between games, with playing the same team over and over again. And I think that's where they Gobert hurts them in that way. And it also has hurt that Karl Anthony Towns hasn't really stepped up in a way that's kind of offset anything. And so it's been a kind of a double negative there for the Wolves.
Look, I'm actually going to back Karl Anthony Towns with my money tonight, which is a little bit scary, but I'm doing it anyway because the numbers say I should. In the head category, I'm going with Cat over 0.5 first quarter assists at minus 145. He hit this every game of the Denver series. So all 7, he had a first quarter assist, and he's done it in 2 out of 3 against the Mavericks. So 9 of the last 10 in the most competitive environment possible. And I think this is just like the most important game of his life in a lot of ways. Like, if we go into the offseason and with the performance that he had in Game 3 and anything even remotely in that vicinity in Game 4, it is going to change the trajectory of his career, because it might change his employer, and you don't want to be away from this Minnesota team right now. Like, you don't want to be the guy traded away from Ant Edwards, because I doubt he's going to go to a better situation given his cap number and given his limitations. And so I expect him to come back, and I'm not expecting him to put up like a 30-20-10. Like, he's not Jokic, he's new to things like that, but I do expect him to be a meaningful part of their offense, particularly early as he comes out and tries to establish himself, keep the ball moving, one pass off his hands, easy assist, done it 9 out of 10, does it one more time for me, minus 145.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I do think that stuff matters in a little bit of a way where guys are going to be like, I'm going to be talked about all offseason if I don't show up. And he's at the point where if he lays another egg, and, you know, his coach, Finch came out and even said, like, it was tough to watch or something was his quote. Yeah. If he lays another egg, you got to think that there's going to be some pride factor, some motivation, some dog is going to hit him, and he's going to want to show up. So I like that bet. But, you know, kind of going back to our Gobert stuff, my head bet is actually going to be with one of the guys that he mentioned that he's going against, which is Daniel Gafford's over of 7.5 rebounds is +114. Derek Lively is doubtful. Highly unlikely he's going to play tonight. Maxi Kleber is questionable. He may play, but I mean, I don't know how much he's going to really be. He's been out for a little bit now. And so that leaves kind of Gafford as the guy. Like, he's going to be on the floor. He's going to get an increase in minutes. If I'm thinking it's going to be a grindy game, grindy games means lots of missed shots for him to hoover up, and a lot of NBA counting rebounding stats are just be on the floor if you're a big guy, and you'll get to 7.5 rebounds. So I like that it's a plus number. He's going to get a little bump in the minutes in a way that I think maybe the books might not catch up with. So I kind of like that one there.
I'm tailing this one. This was the one that you sent over that I like quite a bit because Lively is going to be out. And whether it's a grindy game or a pacey game, like, you know, because I took the over there, like, there's going to be plenty of missed shots. I do expect Minnesota to be absolutely hammering the board, but it's not like the Mavs are going to have 0 rebounds. And so the center who's going to be out there for, say, 35 minutes, I like to get to double digits even. I might even look at adjusting this up. But since you gave it a 7.5 at a plus number, I am backing that.
All righty.
For the Heater, both of us are punting on the Heater. So we talked a ton about the Wolves Mavs tonight. I do have a baseball pick coming up in cred. But for the Heater, you are giving out golf bets on another random tournament, because that is very on brand for you. And then Friday, this is basically going to be like a mini Covered in Glory as we really dig deep into the Champions League final. Yes. So I am going to give out 3 props for the Champions League final on Friday's edition of Trendy.
Yeah, my Friday slate my Heater is going to be the RBC Canadian Open, which, by the way, might have been the funnest tournament in golf last year. So for anybody that, and you're probably not, none of you are familiar with it, Rory does play in this one. He's an RBC guy, so he's like pretty much obligated to play. But this is like the Canadian version of the Waste Management Open in Phoenix, which means that instead of things going insane all the time, the Canadians keep it at a chill, like, but fun level. Like, they had a stretch, or a hole, I think it was like 14, it was like a par three, that they actually literally put hockey boards around last year. And then the guy and people would hit the boards and the players would come up and all that kind of stuff. So it is a fun tournament. We actually had a really fun outcome. Nick Taylor, who is a Canadian golfer, last year won in a playoff against Tommy Fleetwood, who is a pretty beloved player on the tour. And he was like the first Canadian to win in like 50 years. And then the most fun part was his buddy, Adam Hadwin, a fellow golfer on the PGA Tour, came out to celebrate with him on the green and got speared by a security guard on the green. And it went viral. And Hadwin's wife, who's a pretty funny follow on Twitter, like, kept posting different images of her husband getting speared by the security guard coming out to celebrate. So there was a lot of fun in this event last year. I hope it lives up to that.
Yeah, I mean, the Canadian Waste Management Open is like, you know, church in Arizona. So I don't know really how any of this like lines up. Instead of being like, screw your mother, DeChambeau, it's like, would you mind if I made an impolite comment about him and then clapped a little bit softly? Like, that's more or less what the heckling's going to be there. So I don't know if I follow your analogy, but we'll see. Bring in the Mounties.
They did move courses this year. It's at a different golf course, so I don't know if they'll set it up the same, but I'm very hopeful that some of those things that they did last year carry over.
All right. Well, we'll find out on Wednesday. We'll see if I'll tail any of those picks. For my cred pick today, I'm just not overthinking it. I'm going with the Dodgers on the run line in game one of a doubleheader against the Mets. You're laying a little bit of juice at minus 120. The Mets have lost 12 of their last 16 and have to go against Tyler Glasnow in the first of a doubleheader, guaranteeing that it's going to be twice a long day than the Mets fans are typically used to. Glasnow is first in the league in Ks. He's fourth in whip. Looks like another slam dunk acquisition for the Dodgers and their Galacticos. If you want to fade the pick, the Dodgers have lost each of Glasnow's last three starts, so feel free to lean on that trend. That would require you to bet on the Mets, though, unless you have as much money as Steve Cohen. Not sure how long you can ride that before going belly up. I'm going to go ahead and cash at least in the first game, and then depending on how that game goes, I will look at the second game as well.
I'm gonna tail this one because when you sent the pick over, I looked to see who the Dodgers were playing and saw it was the Mets. I don't know much about baseball. I'm not even gonna pretend. I can't even pull like a Brad where I can maybe pretend that I know about something that I don't. But hey, you gave out some good info there, and I already looked at them and they look terrible, and the Dodgers are great, and I was like, -1.5, pretty good juice. Like, I'm tailing this.
There you go. All right. Well, what do you have in the crib pick for two units?
Well, this is my thing. You know, it is a little bit of a vibes pick here, but Anthony Edwards to be the leading scorer tonight is plus 200 for the game. So if I'm taking the Wolves money line, if I do think it's going to be a little bit grindy, I do kind of feel like it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which the Wolves win and Edwards isn't the guy. And I do think that in some ways, like, Kyrie and Luka kind of suppress each other from having like super monster nights where they're going to go off for 50, or even, you know, both of them going off for 35 is pretty hard to do sometimes. So I do kind of like that Ant is 2-1 to be the leading scorer tonight, in a game that they need to win, that I feel like he's had this whole season where everybody's been building him up to be the next guy, the face of the league. Yeah. I feel like he's going to be really ready to kind of show out and kind of bust loose and get him one more game here. So I like the 2-1 on that for the cred.
Does not throw the cape on nearly enough, honestly. Like,
no.
If they're going to struggle this much in these games, like, you see it with Luka. Like, if Luka in the fourth quarter, he'll come out and put up a 15-20 spot or whatever it might be. Like, if they need 40 to win, Luka delivers 40. Well, the Wolves are going to need something in the 30s for Edwards to win, and he's constantly coming up short of that mark. And so I think that the hype is real. I think that he is going to be a legit force in this league, but I think that the fact that he pulled such a shocker in beating Denver kind of accelerated his reputation a little bit past where it should be given his current state of play.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this a lot with players, you know, even from the 90s on, as much as the game has changed, like, they got to have kind of a playoff series in their formative years or they get knocked around a little bit and they don't deliver in the way that they should, or their team doesn't deliver in the way that they should. This might be that thing for Anthony Edwards, but I also think like this is the first time they've had truly their backs, like they're going home if they lose. Yeah. I kind of feel like he's the kind of guy that's going to respond in these moments. Maybe he won't make enough shots to be the leading scorer, but I do feel like maybe what you have been saying is the cape will come on. Whether or not the shots go in, we don't know. But yeah. I do think the cape might come. There's a better chance of that cape being put on and him doing his thing.
Well, it's a good bet if for no other reason, up 3-0 and Luka hobbling around. Like, is Luka going to really try to like step on their necks and go for 45 or 50 tonight? And if he doesn't do that, and he's going to be somewhere in the high 20s or low 30s, that lowers the bar that Edwards has to clear for your bet to win, unless Kyrie somehow goes nets. So don't sleep on Naz Reid. Naz Reid might have 40, as you're about to talk about in your Second Guess Express, which we will get to right after this break. All right, Brett, that was a lot on the Wolves and Mavs, and we are not done quite yet because the man, the myth, the legend himself, Naz Reid, is your Second Guess Express. Which way are you playing it?
I'm the pro Naz Reid way, I guess. The over 12.5 points is minus 118, and I definitely feel like I'm going to sit here when we tape tomorrow and be like, why was that not my cred pick? And it really feels like – I mean, he's been really good. I mean, I'm definitely – I wasn't – incredibly high on him when he came out into the league. I didn't know what he was going to be, but I mean, there's no doubt he's turned into an incredibly valuable player for this team. He's going to get paid by either the Wolves or someone else. I just think this number's way too low. I mean, it's hard to do it because like you're sort of betting a bench guy to come through for you like this, which is always hard when you're trying to take the over on something like that. But like, I felt like this should have been 14.5, maybe even 15, you know, even, and at 12.5 just seems too low. I can pretty much guarantee, especially with the rate of success of Second Guess Express picks on this show, that I will come in. The first thing we will talk about in the Wednesday opener will be me going, why the F didn't I have Naz Reid as my cred pick?
Let's just record it now and be done with it.
Yeah.
So for my Second Guess Express, I'm going over to the WNBA and I'm continuing to look at Caitlin Clark, but I am fading her this evening because it seems to me that public money is starting to creep a little bit into the WNBA. Like we're seeing viewership numbers skyrocketing. We're seeing attendance numbers skyrocketing. It'd be natural that some betting dollars kind of follow it by people that are just sampling in. You know, we're about to not have regular NBA basketball. Also, are we going to see more money move into WNBA basketball while we wait for the NBA to return on June 6th? And I imagine with her kind of bullseye on her back, she's going to get a lot of attention. And I couldn't make sense of the line. Like they are 1-6 and they are 2-1 favorites tonight. The LA Sparks are 200 on the money line. They're getting 5.5 at minus 110. I mean, pick either one you want. Pick the money line or take the 5.5 insurance. But the Fever are getting destroyed in some of these games. They took like a 38-point loss. They weren't even competitive in it. They've lost, as I said, 6 other games. They only have the one win, which was a nail-biter over the Sparks, which I guess is what they're using to justify the line. But the Sparks are a professional basketball team. They're in virtually every single game. And despite being 1-4, I think they've looked better than the Fever without, you know, the big-name star power. So I love Caitlin Clark. I want her to do the absolute best. But until she shows that, like, as a rookie who just played an incredibly intense season at Iowa, that she's ready to come into this league and really like carry her team on her back. They had the first pick for a reason, and I just think it's crazy that they're giving 5.5 to anybody right now.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I'm with you. I think this is such a cool moment to be around a sport like this. It's like we're seeing some transcendent young players like coming to the WNBA and breathe a lot of life into the league for these women, which is fantastic. But yeah, it is. I was talking about this with someone the other day. It is just crazy that she just finished this season. She's had all this pressure, all this hype throughout the college year, gets no break, and then is anointed the savior of the WNBA. And yeah, that's going to take a toll on her at some point. I think she may have a mildly disappointing season, but her second year, she may just absolutely rip this league apart. So
yeah,
I do think that it is a crazy line for today, and I do think that, you know, she is going to probably not be up to the standard that we've set for her, But I wouldn't let this year like change anything in how you view that woman.
All right. Well, here at Extra Points, Lemon Pepper Parlay should be out later today because they kind of have to be. They might not have games to talk about if they don't. So I sure hope they're recording. -3, we'll be back with the 3 episodes this week, including Hench tearing apart the refs and maybe celebrating Angel Hernandez announcing his retirement from the game of baseball, which is probably the most anticipated retirement of Hench's fandom. We'll also have Extra Points coming back on Wednesday. Brett and I will be back on Wednesday and Friday, resuming our normal schedule. And as I mentioned, Friday will kind of be a little bit of a covered in glory episode because we will be diving deep into the Champions League. It's why Brett is here this week.
Oh yeah, you're stuck with me, people, because there's one more soccer Super Bowl to play. Be ready for Friday. Toby and I will be all football all the time and not the American kind.
And it might be the only thing to talk about anyway, so it's going to work out pretty well for us. Let's hope, though, that the Wolves get a win tonight, that we have another game to talk about tomorrow. Either way, we will be back. We look forward to it. Enjoy the games tonight. Take care, everyone.